Doom do 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 doom do do. Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 9 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
First off, I just wanted to say thank you so much to each and every listener for tuning in every week. I've been so blown away by your support, your emails, your Instagram direct messages, your reviews on iTunes. You guys, my plant people, are truly amazing, and I'm so thankful for you. Welcome to episode 9. I'm so excited to share my wonderful conversation with fellow recent crazy plant lady, Megan Rawson, who is the creator of the Instagram account Plant Lady is the New Cat Lady. I freaking love her. Her two gorgeous cats, Mac and Brooklyn, are quickly becoming insta-famous due to Megan's hilarious Instagram stories of their relationship with her growing collection of 60-plus plants in her one-bedroom Brooklyn apartment. Megan and I actually met at the Sill even before I had done any of my first interviews for Bloom and Grow Radio, and she had just started her Instagram account. As you hear in our interview, we actually kind of start our journey with plants very close together. And it's just been so fun watching her adorable cats and plants grow in her urban jungle on Instagram. And she's got quite the following now. I've gotten a bunch of requests from you wonderful plant people for a plants and cats episode, and I have never had pets. I'm actually allergic to cats, so I knew that I needed help, and I thought Megan would be the perfect person to discuss the ups and downs of living with cats, some hacks to keep them away from your plants, and also diving into a little bit of a basic overview of what toxic plants to avoid if you have cats in your house. Now, I want you to listen up. This is a huge disclaimer. We are not veterinarians. We are not plant toxicity specialists or plant scientists. If you have any questions about specific plants and their toxicity for your specific cat, dog, pet, we really encourage you to go to ASPCA's website or other resources that we share in our conversation and make the decision that's right for you, your pets, and your urban jungle. We are just a pair of crazy plant ladies who love our plants, we love her cats, and we harness the power of Google to bring you some basic information and resources about toxic plants to avoid if you have cats and how to kind of help your cats stay away from your plants. So once again, please check with your vet, check with a professional, go to ASPCA, the link is in the bio if you have specific questions or concerns. That being said, Megan shares some really funny stories about her joys of living with her plants and her cats, and it's just a wonderful conversation that I really hope you enjoy. So, Megan Rawson, otherwise known as Plant Lady, is the new Cat Lady on Instagram.
Yes.
And I think we have to start off in the beginning just by your caption on Plant Lady is the new Cat Lady is goes to one plant class, starts the vlog.
And that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I have to
give me the whole story.
Yes. Yeah. You know, like a lot of people say about starting their plant hobby, mm-hmm. it kind of just happened really quickly. And so I, just at the beginning of this summer, actually, up until then, I wasn't really interested in plants. It's not that I wasn't interested. I didn't know a lot about plants. And they just hadn't entered into my life the way that they are now.
Mm-hmm.
But about June timeframe, I got a couple of plants. I liked how they made my apartment feel. I started to get a little bit interested in them and noticed that I had some difficulties with the cats. So kind of had to decide if I was going to go further with the plants or if I was really going to hold back because the cats were going to dig them up, they're going to eat them, they're going to destroy them, whatever. And then one day I just went for it. I went and bought like 10 plants and the rest is history. But after I did that, I realized I was in a little over my head. And so I wanted to really build a foundation of what does it mean to grow a plant, have a plant, be a plant mom. So actually here in the neighborhood in Williamsburg, at Chelsea Garden Center, they were doing a plant 101 class. And Summer, who you've had on the podcast.
Yes, Summerine Oaks of Homestead, Brooklyn.
Exactly. Yeah. Was the instructor. So she kind of went through, we did this class, we went through the fundamentals of growing a plant, light, water, soil, just very basic, but yeah. It was all completely new to me. I mean, I had no idea. I showed up with my little pen and my paper. Mm-hmm. I was super interested in it. And the next thing I knew, the next day, I was completely in on plants. I was going to make this cat plant thing work. And I thought, you know, this could actually be really interesting and funny. Mm-hmm. My cats are crazy. And so I kind of wanted to document my journey of becoming a plant mom mm-hmm. while having cats or pet, you know, any pet really. But for me, it was the two cats. So that was literally what happened. Went to the plant class. And literally the next day, I started my Instagram.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Wow. I think Summer Rain would be excited too. Yeah. She had such a big part in the creation of that.
I saw her at the plant swap, and I've seen her a couple other times, but I don't think I've ever told her that. Like, plant 101 class at Chelsea Garden Center. Right. Next thing you know, plant lady is the new cat lady
right. on Instagram. We're going in.
Going all in. Yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And so, first off, I just want to say, I think a couple funny things. Number one, you and I started pretty much our collections. Like, we both kind of lost our minds for plants, like, at the same time. Yeah. You in June and me in July.
Yes, yes.
So I love that we're kind of, like, alongside each other for this journey. And Megan and I had actually met at the SIL even before I conducted my first interview. I was, like, I was going to a plant 101 class at the SIL, and you were just buying a plant. Mm-hmm. And we connected over seeing each other at the plant swap.
That's right.
And I was like, I think I'm going to start this podcast. Like, yeah, what's your name on Instagram? I'll follow you. Like, we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, I remember that.
And here you are, my guest
on
the show.
Yeah, I love it. I have to say, I'm so honored. You've already done, like, an amazing job, and you've gotten some amazing guests in. I mean, that was 2 months ago, I want to say, when we met each other at the SIL. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Like, how many podcasts have you done now? Like,
Our eighth was this last Tuesday.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's very awesome. And so, like, I'm so happy to get to be a part of it. And it's funny how it all started. Yeah. At the SIL, actually.
I'm take a plant 101 class, start a podcast. You're take a plant class, start a blog.
Yeah,
start
exactly.
an Instagram account.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. But I think it's important for listeners to know, too, like, taking those 101 classes, I think, is so important. If you are interested in getting into plants, but like me, I mean, I'm a former major plant killer. Like, I've killed a lot of plants. But taking that 101 class was so awesome because it kind of sets you up to, like, be successful this next round.
Yeah, totally. I'd say it's awesome. My boyfriend's not as excited about it, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, yes.
But, no, it's totally awesome. And what I find, like, even for me, I'm a super novice plant mom. Just mm-hmm. like you, we started at the beginning of this summer in about June of 2017. So I have a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. But some of my friends, my coworkers, my peers come to me with, like, their plant questions.
Yeah.
And it's very basic stuff. And mm-hmm. now they see me as this plant
guru,
expert.
Right.
And I have no idea. I'm not a plant expert whatsoever. But I can tell you that if you have your plant in a dark corner, it's not going to do well, mm-hmm. which is, like, very basic. But you learn that, just the very basic fundamentals. And a lot of people bring a plant home and they think that plant is just going to thrive, like, wherever for them. At my plant 101 class, I'll never forget what Summer said like, completely stuck with me. And I tell it to all of my friends, but think not what the plant can do for you, but what you can do for the plant.
Oh, I love that.
I loved it. And I never, like, totally understood that. So now to why my boyfriend's not very excited about mm-hmm. it. During that class, Summer was talking about the type of light that you should be getting for different kinds of plants. So I had no idea what direction my window was even facing at that class. So I'm texting my boyfriend, can you stand by the window and look out and open the compass on your iPhone and, like, tell me what direction our window is facing? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what I found out is my window is facing north to northeast.
Right.
Which, as any plant lover knows, is not ideal. So now I definitely have a mandate in our relationship that once our lease is up, we will be moving to a different apartment that has to have some kind of, like,
southern
exposure and, you know, some east or some west.
Yeah. I was so lucky because when I moved into my apartment, I was still a plant killer. I, like, couldn't care less about plants. And I have the most amazing southern-facing windows and a balcony that's on the south, too. So I, like, totally lucked out that it was pretty easy for me to not kill my plants when I was putting them in those windows because they were, like, getting great light.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's funny because my Plant 101 class, too, I took mine at the Sill, and Chris talked about southern exposure, too. And I can't remember for people listening, but he actually gave us an amazing website that you can type your address in and it tells you where you're, what you're facing. So I'll put it in the notes. I'll put it in the show notes for anyone who's interested in that website. It's like Sundial or something. Yeah. But I can't
remember. Also just, we just downloaded like a compass app on our phone
And just hold it up. That's really smart.
Yeah.
Too.
Just held it up to look to see. And you know, I will say, although I have a north-facing window, we still get a lot of great light, big windows and what have you, so I get to have a lot of great plants.
We're actually sitting in Megan's apartment. I couldn't be more jealous. Megan's beautiful apartment with a huge window. So even though it is north, you are able to get so much light in here. It's amazing. And she has a beautiful view of the water, which is really lovely, too. Yes. And a ton of plants.
Yes.
So what is your, you said your count varies between 50 and 60?
60 and 70 now. In between 60 and 70 is now where I am. And I'm like running out of space. I don't, I probably won't go much more than 70, 80.
Yeah. Now you can just let them grow into the space too.
Exactly.
Because you've definitely got some plants that are going to grow either like trickle down, like you've got nice little pothos and philodendrons and stuff that'll like start to fill out. Exactly. And look really beautiful.
Yes, exactly.
But it's so nice. Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you. It's so quiet. It's so quiet up here too. So perfect for podcast recording. Yes. But okay, so let's talk about how long have you had your cats? Talk to us about your kitties.
Oh, the kitties. The kitties are my whole heart. Mm-hmm. I've had Mac, the big fluffy orange one, for he's a little more than 4 years old now. I actually got him in Seattle. Okay. And when my boyfriend and I moved from Seattle, he came with me, and I'll tell you, one of the more traumatic experiences of poor little Mac's life. He came on the airplane with me, and at the time it was just Mac and myself. Jensen was staying in Seattle for a little while longer to finish up the work that he was doing before moving out here. So it was like little girl, little kitty in the big city. I was terrified. I was moving out here for work. I didn't know anybody out here. So I had Mac with me. We're on the airplane. We're on a red eye. We're supposed to land in New York at about 5 or 6 in the morning from Seattle. And I wasn't signing my lease for the apartment until much later in the day.
Okay.
So I had my bags. I had my cat. I'm like, what do I do all day? Before we even got there, we're on the red eye. And I'm kind of trying to sleep, but I'm nervous. And all of a sudden, I hear this, like, meow on the airplane. Oh, and I was like, oh, that sounds like somebody's cat got loose. And then I hear it again. And I was like, oh, my God, that's my cat.
Oh, gosh.
So I, like, he was supposed to be in his little carrier under the seat in front of me. So I, like, pull out the carrier, and it's empty. I am literally having panic attack on the airplane. I'm like, oh my God, I'm moving to New York. I don't know where my cat is.
On the airplane.
Yes. So it was a red eye. All the lights were out.
Everybody was sleeping.
Everybody was sleeping. So I had to go to a flight attendant and just be like, you know, my cat's loose on the plane. We had to go row by row with a flashlight until we found him like under somebody's feet. And they're like, oh, is this your cat? Yes, that's my cat. If I were on a plane and there was just a cat under my feet, I would probably like call the attendant. Yeah, no, they're just sitting there like
cuddling with your cat.
Oh, here's your cat. I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
So that was Mac's big flight over to New York. So we've had him for about 4 years. In Brooklyn, we actually did not live in Brooklyn when we named her Brooklyn. We lived on the Upper West Side and we got her from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Out by Prospect Park, there was a veterinarian who was friends with our pet shop owner that we went to in the Upper West Side, who had found this mom and kittens that were wild that she was rescuing, and she was going to put the kittens up for adoption and keep the mom. So we knew that Mac needed a friend. Aww. We were working longer hours now that we were in New York, and he was used to kind of having people around, and now he was by himself.
Okay.
So we tried to get a fish. It was like fun for a while, but it didn't didn't really entertain him.
Right.
So we knew he needed another friend. So
wouldn't a fish like kind of torture him a little bit too?
He would like sit there and watch, okay. like kind of, you know, lay by the bowl. And we still have the fish actually, but it just it wasn't enough for him. And you know when they say like when you're adopting kittens, you should always adopt two. I am a big advocate of that. Mm-hmm. I saw like in his behavior, he was really upset. He wanted a friend. And as soon as we got Brooklyn, he completely changed. They love each other. So you got
Brooklyn as a little baby.
Got Brooklyn as a little baby. When we got her, she, you know, like I said, they rescued her from the streets. Mm-hmm. She had everything you could imagine. She had worms, fleas, ear mites, little thing. So we got her to the vet, got her all good to go. And now we've had her for over 2 years.
That's interesting though, because getting Brooklyn, having fleas and stuff like that, that was probably also prepping you for having so many plants. Because cats are very similar to plants if you think about it. You can't communicate with them and you have to figure out what they need and how to fix it.
Yeah, very much so. Absolutely. Yeah, and just kind of like observing their behavior, observing how they interact with different like changes in their environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I love that. They're so cute. They're like crawling around all over the place.
Yeah, they have their little kitty shelves and... Well, they're kind of sleeping now.
Yeah. And anyone who follows Megan on Instagram knows that they're like acrobats. Yes. Your cats.
They live the life. They have these little shelves. They're actually catastrophic creations. If anybody's interested in the shelves, the company is great. But it gives them like activity during the day. I kind of hope that it keeps them distracted a lot from playing in the plants. Yeah. I think it does. So it gives them something to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you move here for work. So... Plant Lady is the new Cat Lady is your like fun side thing, but you're actually in finance, right?
Yes, I work in finance for L'Oreal.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So completely different than plants and cats. And I've been with L'Oreal for about 4.5 years. I was with them in Seattle.
Okay.
This is my escape. This is my like the joy that I get after having a long, hard day at work.
Yeah.
All my coworkers know I have plants at my desk.
How many plants?
I have about, I want to say they're mostly succulents.
Okay.
Three to five.
That's awesome.
And if anyone's seen my posts lately, one of my coworkers got me the cutest little kitty. They're like little kitty figurines, but they're designed to be able to rest on a ledge.
Okay.
Which happens to be perfect for the edge of a pot. So I have them all kind of decorated around my little pots. They're super cute. So.
Oh, yes. I have seen your Instagrams about those. Are so cute.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've definitely brought in the Plant Lady, Cat Lady to work, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most of the time I'm crunching numbers and
finance,
working on beauty.
Finance badass by day, plant lady by night.
Yes, totally.
Cat lady slash plant lady.
Yes, yes, yes.
So let's dive into what has your experience and what has your cat's experience been with your rapid transformation into a plant lady with 60 plants? Like how was their initial acceptance of the first plan and all of that?
Initially, it was not accepted. They were super curious, which I think is to be expected.
Right.
They were already, by the time I started collecting plants and getting plants, they were almost adult cats. Like Brooklyn was nearly 2.
Right.
And Mac was 4. So, I mean, this was 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So they were super interested. What they say, or what I've read, is the best thing to do is to raise your kittens or your puppies with plants. So it's not like something new or interesting to them. It's something that has always been there.
Like your couch or like...
Totally.
Your bed.
I didn't do that, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they were super interested. They would dig. They would bite to discover. They didn't really eat. Mm-hmm. Cats don't really eat plants anyways, unless it's like cat grass or something like that. They eat a lot of meat.
Okay.
That's their natural diet. So it was more so like a discovery. They were super interested. And it was a struggle. Like if you scroll back to some of my beginning photos on my Instagram, they're primarily just like dirt all over my apartment, you know, kitties burrowing and digging. So it was a struggle at first, and I kind of figured out a couple different tactics, but I'd have to say the tactic that's worked the best for me on keeping them kind of out of the plants was what I like to call the quantity method.
Okay.
So I realized that if I just get a ton of plants and just they're everywhere, then it's kind of, they're like too much for them to even care about.
Right. Okay.
Honestly, that's what's worked for me. Okay. I've done, like, I have large river rocks in a lot of my plants, mm-hmm. the bigger plants. I have, like, an apple bitter spray that kind of deters them. I do a lot of natural deterrents.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I'll show you the bottle later, but yeah. It's basically,
and we'll link to the, link to whatever you use in the
yeah, show it works notes really well. It wears off quickly, but it works really well and it's not harmful for the plant. It's basically like apple cider vinegar, to be honest.
So do you spray that? And also, I don't have any pets right now. So, like, I'm as dumb as it gets. Mm-hmm. Quick story for the listeners. I actually showed up to Megan's apartment today. I was shooting something else earlier today where I needed to bring a plant. And I showed up to Megan's apartment with a poisonous plant in my bag. I had my pothos, which is, like, mildly poisonous. But, like, that's how much I suck at, like, understanding this.
It's
so I'm
fine.
I'm excited to have you explaining all of this.
Yeah.
But yes.
So I do the apple cider vinegar. I've done large river rocks.
So the vinegar, you spray it on the plant leaves. Mm-hmm. So when they go to bite the leaf, it's like,
yeah, it's a,
if you
they
bite
don't
your
like the
nails,
smell.
Putting
yeah.
that, putting the chili on it.
Okay. Yeah. Same thing with like any orange or lemon, anything citrusy. If we brought a lemon to Brooklyn's face right now, mm-hmm. she would just like kind of scrunch up her nose. They hate the smell of anything citrus. So you could also kind of bury orange grinds or lemon grinds into the soil.
Oh, that's like natural compost too.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. So I've done that a little bit, which has helped. So there's a lot of ways to like naturally deter them from getting into the plant.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if there's a plant that they're particularly fond of, like your ponytail pond that you've mentioned and definitely Instagrammed about, you could try spraying the leaves or putting the grinds in your, not the grinds, but the peels.
The round. Yeah, yeah. I would say, though, what I find with anything that's like the natural deterrent, like the apple cider vinegar or citrus, anything citrus, or even like cayenne pepper, they don't like that. Mm-hmm. It wears off quickly.
Right.
So you have to be doing it constantly. I forget sometimes, so they'll get back at the plant mm-hmm. and start like nibbling on it or sniffing around or digging around. It's just the life I've chosen to live. And
right.
I'm willing to accept that there's going to be some wear right. and tear.
Totally. And yeah, when I came earlier and you gave me your tour of the apartment and your plants, like I'll have the photos in the blog that is attached to this episode. But it's so funny how you're like, yep, these are the nibbles on this plant. These are the nibbles on this plant. Yeah, yep. Look what they did to this this leaf. It's
exactly.
hysterical.
Yeah, and I think for the cats, at least for my cats, it's not them eating mm-hmm. or consuming the plant. So I think a lot of things about like, oh, the toxicity level of the plant and is it poisonous? Is it poisonous? Is it not poisonous? Certainly something everybody should be looking at. Mm-hmm. But if you looked around my apartment, you'd see I have a lot of low toxicity, no toxicity, but some mildly toxic
right.
plants. But what I've read and what I've experienced personally is that the cats would have to consume a lot of the plant mm-hmm. for it to really be toxic.
Right.
And what my cats tend to do is what I'd call a discovery bite. They're not eating the plant. Mm-hmm. They're like, what's this? And I'm going to bite it to learn more about it. So that's why what you'll see, and for people listening, if you look at the blog, what you would see in the photos, it's literally like teeth marks, like
right.
they bit in.
But
and
they're not even breaking.
Not even breaking. Leaf. They're just literally taking chomping down and then
right.
letting go. So it's for them, it is more discovery. I have them on so many of my plants. It's unbelievable.
It is so funny. And I want you to tell a couple stories you've already told me, but one thing that's so funny is Megan is Monstera, like, is definitely, like, all over your Instagram. And she actually, you want to say what you did with their...
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah.
And maybe some of you have seen this in my story. I found this online. I have to say, I'm very grateful I found this little trick. But when I brought the Monstera home, I got it at Chelsea Garden Center, one of my mm-hmm. favorite garden places in Williamsburg.
And it's so beautiful. Yeah, it's a
yeah,
really
gorgeous Yeah, it's a beautiful
Monstera.
Yeah. It's just so beautiful. And if something happened to it, I would be very upset. So when I brought it home, obviously it has a lot of branches. It's kind of wild. The kitties were totally interested. If you've seen any of my blog posts or Instagram posts, I don't know why I say blog, but Instagram posts, Mac loves it. He kind of gets underneath the leaves. And I think because the leaves kind of come down over his head, mm-hmm. he feels like he's like in a jungle.
In a jungle, yeah.
I don't know. It's hilarious. So they're very interested in it. And similar to what I was just talking about, they've bitten it a few times to discover it, not to eat it. But the first time they actually bit the stem of a leaf and broke that stem. And it was
like fractured it a little.
Fractured. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much like it was almost completely detached. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful leaf. It's my first Monstera. It had these beautiful holes in it. And I was, you know, I told myself, yeah, I will not lose this leaf. Yeah. So what I did, I just figured, you know, and I read a little bit about this. Some people had tried it online. I figured if I could somehow just put the stem back in a place where it could reconnect and grow back together, it mm-hmm. would be fine. So I actually got like pre-wrap from like athletic pre-wrap. That's like this foamy right. thin material, wrapped it around and then took some tape, like duct tape or what have you, and just basically band-aided right. the
you stem. Made a band-aid for yeah. your Monstera.
I've done it now on 3 Monstera leaves and it's been successful every single time.
Yeah.
So the stem grows back together. You could kind of see there's a little blemish there mm-hmm. from the breaking, but the leaf is totally still alive. It's still growing. And you saw earlier, I have a band-aid on there now yeah. on one of the leaves.
I'll take some pictures and put them on the blog because yeah. it's really crazy. And so she showed me one of the leaves has the little band-aid on it. The other leaf that has taken the band-aid off, like, just looks like it's a scab.
Yep,
like, it exactly. has, like, a little brown spot, but it's totally, the leaf is getting its nutrients and whatever yep. water it needs. And it's, like, kind of amazing.
Yeah. I have to say, you know, I really made the decision that I was going to make this, like, plant cat thing work.
Yeah.
And I think it does take effort. You know, if you don't have pets, you would never have to deal with that.
Totally.
And it was devastating. I lost this beautiful Monstera leaf. We all know they're like so coveted.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
so I was just like, I'm not willing to give this up.
Totally.
I need to figure out a way to fix it.
And yeah.
just put a little band-aid on it.
I love that. I think what's so interesting is being a plant parent. And I think especially when you're on Instagram, everybody is like so focused on the perfect like Instagram shot of the Monstera,
yes,
the perfect
yes.
Instagram shot of the fiddly fig. And it's so not about that. And I feel like the way you talk about your plants and your cats is like a mom of like 2 or 3 kids where like you see those funny commercials where, you know, the first bath for your firstborn baby is like so high stakes and so crazy. And then the second kid
yes.
is like just getting passed in the shower
yes.
or like
yes.
whatever. And like once you have a couple of kids, it's like not as high stakes and it's real life. And like that's so much more beautiful than
yeah.
whatever you're like so like anal retentive about making everything so perfect.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I feel like you like capture that spirit really beautifully because your plants are thriving.
Mm-hmm.
They've been nibbled on a little bit or whatever. Like that's the reality of having plants
yeah.
and cats, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have plants.
Absolutely.
Because,
that's 100% my
yeah.
mentality.
Yeah. And they're always growing and like literally you just band-aid it
yeah.
and it's better.
Yeah. It's fine.
That's like
it's
pretty
fine.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's and like that's the miracle of growth and plants. I mean, I just think that kind of blows my mind. I think that's
yeah,
so cool.
It's totally beautiful. And I think the alternative is I could choose not to have cats or I could choose not to have
right.
plants.
And how sad
and
would that be?
That would be so sad. That would be devastating. So I choose to, you know, whatever, deal with it.
Yeah, you get to be doubly happy now.
Yeah.
You get double joy.
Yeah,
not just
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Totally.
That's
totally.
So cool. And then I totally want you to tell your fiddly fig
yes.
story.
So the wonderful, beautiful fiddly fig that everybody loves. I knew when I got into the plant space and I started my Instagram, there were a couple of plants I had to have.
Of course.
Obviously the Monstera. Obviously the Pilea,
right.
Peppermoides, and all of the ones that are all over Instagram.
Peperomia, right.
Peperomia. And of course, one of those was a fiddly fig. And, you know, I just had to find the right opportunity, what
yeah.
have you. And so actually I was on vacation in Seattle visiting friends and family. And someone had posted in my building that they were selling their fiddly fig.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure they got it from the sill. It's a
beautiful,
like
yeah.
more mature fiddly fig, already potted in a beautiful pot. She was selling it, and all by the time I commented on the post, there were already several people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm interested. Let me come see. I'm interested. Let me come see. And she was moving out of the building, so the timing was a little urgent. So I sent her a note, and I basically gave her an offer and just said, hey, I don't know if other people are going to take it, but if nobody else takes
yeah.
it, I'm not going to be able to look at it, but I trust you. I want that tree.
And the offer was like half of what she was
yeah,
asking
yeah.
for. You got a steal.
A steal.
Yeah.
No, I totally got a steal. But, you know, I thought it was a little fair because I wasn't around.
Oh,
I didn't
totally
get to see.
Fair, yeah.
I wasn't sure. And I was just, you know, she was kind of in a desperate place where she was moving.
Right.
And she made it very clear, I cannot take this tree with me. Like, she's moving out of state. So, you know, I think it ended up being a great, mutually beneficial arrangement for the both of us. Nobody else ended up taking it in the building, which I cannot believe. Yeah, seriously. I'm so grateful for. So when she brought it in, we put it in the living room, and it was probably the biggest thing Brooklyn, the little kitty, has ever seen.
Yeah, like a big old monster.
Yeah, a big monster. Yeah. That's exactly right, and that's exactly how she responded to it. Mm-hmm. She freaked out. Oh. So for the first 2 or 3 days, she didn't come out of the bedroom and was absolutely terrified of this tree. And my boyfriend and I didn't know what to do. We were just like, do we need to get rid of this tree? She's never like this. We're absolutely terrified. I was still on vacation. My boyfriend was back. So he kind of tried to get her to come out and socialize with the tree and be around the tree, and was really unlucky. Mm-hmm. We finally moved the tree into the bedroom. She races out and now has like full rein on the living room where her litter box is, her food is. So I'm pretty sure those first 2 or 3 days, she felt like something had taken over her home. She couldn't, go to the litter box when she wanted to. She couldn't eat when she wanted to.
Because how long was it? It was like that she was hiding in the bedroom?
Probably 2 days.
Okay.
2 days. Aww. And, Jensen would try to take her out of the bedroom and shut the bedroom door so she couldn't come in. She'd run under the couch and not get near the tree. So finally, when we put the tree in the bedroom and let her have the living room, she started kind of getting more comfortable. It was in a corner in the bedroom. And it took a couple days. I think with anything like that, when there is something new or different, it just takes them a couple days to understand that this isn't it's not a monster. Right. It's just a plant sitting there. So once she figured that out, she had no problem being around the fiddle leaf fig. In fact, I think she was trying to get revenge on the fiddle leaf fig, and she started to use it as her litter box.
Several times
I caught her doing that. And I don't think she was confused. I think it was certainly out of vengeance towards the fiddle leaf fig. But then once I put some large Riverstone rocks in there and she got a little more comfortable with it, now it's totally fine.
So that's a good tip for plant cat parents too, if for some reason they're using those big pots, because that pot for your fiddle leaf fig must be a foot and a half wide.
Yes.
So like it would also make sense for them to like think that it's got dirt in it.
Totally.
To put river rocks or some sort of large thing, it's going to make them uncomfortable with their pots.
Yeah, then they can't really dig. Mm-hmm. It's just, you cover
them about the digging.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because they're going to want to dig if they're going to use the restroom. In the tree or in the dirt, in the soil.
It's like natural fertilizer.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very common for animals to dig. Right.
Totally.
It's kind of in their natural instinct, whether it's that for a dog, they're trying to like dig and find a secret place to hide their bones, or it's a lot of times when animals dig outside, the soil underneath is cooler. Mm-hmm. So they kind of like to find a cool place to lay down, or it gives them the ability to dig under a fence and explore a new space that they haven't been able to explore. Like, it's very normal that they would dig. So I think of all the things that the cats are doing in here, it's normal. They're cats. They're animals. That's totally what they're supposed to do. So I just, think about, okay, how can I just prevent them from doing that?
Yeah. You're bringing some nature inside, which is like good for us, but also good for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But also I would say like it feels natural for humans to dig too. Like there's something when you're repotting plants that feels so like grounding and like, I don't know, returning to the earth, like getting dirt under your fingernails.
Totally.
Like there's something really satisfying about that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Just for like me.
See, we're not that much different than them.
Right? We're all just basically cats. Let's be real. That's so funny. All right. So now let's move on to, so this blew my mind when I started looking into this. Number one, my most requested show has been plants that are safe for cats. Mm-hmm. And I, as a person that's never had cats, I'm actually allergic to cats and never had dogs, was kind of shocked by that because I was like, plants being poisoned, okay, great, but like it's probably just a couple. Mm-hmm. Then I got on the internet and I was like, wow, this is like a serious thing. Some of these plants that are really common in households can actually kill your cat or give serious gastrointestinal stuff or like heart arrhythmias.
Yes,
like,
yes.
It kind of was really scary. So I was like, yeah, we definitely have to do this episode.
Yes.
That's important. So when you started collecting plants, did you know about that? Was that something you had to kind of have to learn along the way? Like,
it was, I definitely knew about it. And that was one of the reasons I had been so hesitant to start a plant collection at the beginning for a while to begin with. But I resolved like, okay, there's gotta be plants out there. I grew up, my mom is, right. crazy master gardener. Mm-hmm. And we've had cats my whole life. So I'm like, wait a minute. I've basically grown my whole life with cats and with plants. So my mom figured it out somehow. So there's got to be a way. So I did do a little bit of research, and there's a lot out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot out there that's confusing. There's
it's
a lot
really
out there.
Overwhelming.
It is, yes. But, you know, I personally refer to the ASPCA website for all of my, like, guidance on toxicity. I think that there's, like, several things that you need to think about. Certainly, you should look at toxicity. And so for me and what I have here in my apartment, I do have two highly toxic plants, or I guess four, the pothos. But the pothos, I need to look at them. I'm not sure if they're high, they're really high on the toxicity list. But for instance, now it's around the holidays, I have two poinsettias. Mm-hmm. Anything that is highly toxic, I would only ever consider having it if it's completely out of touch of the cats. Like, there's literally no way they can get to either my pothos or the poinsettias. They're up on really high shelves, completely out of the way of the cats. Then my perspective on the rest, anything that's probably low to mildly toxic for cats, is one, you should know your cat and know, like, what are they likely to get in? Do they get into things? Do they bite things? It's very obvious that my cats get into things and they bite, but they don't consume. So I think that's a really big, big differentiator that you need to know, because a lot of the plants, especially when they're on the low to mild side of toxicity, they have to consume a lot of the plant in order for them to have any kind of adverse effect. So
one bite where they don't actually swallow isn't really going to do anything.
Yeah, I mean,
there's some plants that it might, but for a low toxicity plant, if your cats, if that's their habit, then it's not going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, you know, that's what I look at. I have some plants in here that are mildly toxic, but my cats don't eat the plants.
Right.
They discover, and they might have a little nibble, but they don't eat them. So, you know, I watch, I look, nothing here will kill them. And so that's what I choose to do.
Right.
I did, you know, at the beginning of my plant journey, come home once with a Diefenbachia, and it was beautiful. I just loved it. And this was before I had really gotten in the habit of looking at the ASPCA list before I purchased. And I would always kind of see a plant at the plant store, and I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. I'm going to take it home. And I would get home, and then I would look up the care, and I keep, like, a little spreadsheet. I'm such a jerk. I would look up the care, and I would say, like, okay, what kind of light, what kind of, you know, watering, so on and so forth. And as a result, I would see, okay, what's the toxicity? This was always after the fact. Then, you know, the Diefenbachia was the last one where I was like, okay, this is actually very toxic for the cats. I ended up giving it to a friend. And now I just make sure I check the list before I bring it home.
So what is your process when you're plant shopping? Like, how is that affected by having your cats? Is it that you're pulling up the ASPCA website when you're in the store?
Yes.
And kind of just going
definitely.
To that?
So what I do is if I see a plant I like that I want to take home with me, I'll just pull it up really quickly on my phone, you know, see what they say about it, and that's how I'll make my decision.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at Crest Hardware, that's another garden shop here in Williamsburg, about a couple weeks ago, and there were two beautiful plants. There was an arrowhead plant and a variegated alocasia that I was in love with. And I'm like, I have to have these plants, obviously. So I had them in my basket. I was shopping all around.
Right.
Like, I was past the point of purchasing in my mind.
Okay.
I just hadn't, like, really stepped up to the register yet. And I was in line to purchase when I'm, like, checking the ASPCA.
Okay.
And both of them are toxic, like, highly toxic. And so I had to step out of line.
Right.
But, and they were beautiful. I was so bummed. Right. Yeah. But it's just not worth it. I mean, I can have all of these beautiful plants that are, like, one of, you know, Summer always talks about this as being one of her favorite types of plant, which is peperomia.
Right.
A lot of peperomia, or as far as I know, most peperomia are plant, are pet friendly. Same thing with calathea. Pet friendly.
Right.
So
you just have to find.
Yeah. You can have a lot of beautiful, beautiful plants.
Yeah.
With your pets.
Right.
And feel okay about it.
So, and for the ASPCA website, you were saying that they do break it down on how toxic it is.
Yeah. They generally will say, like, low, medium to high.
Okay. So the low, you're not going to be that stressed about. But if it is like a Diffenbachia, which is high, 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 like will kill your cat, you're definitely not going to bring that home.
Yeah. And I should even say it's like no toxicity, low, medium, high.
Right.
And my take, this is my personal take on the low, is it's almost like there's something in there that where they have to say that it's kind of toxic, but
right.
Nothing's going to happen to you, or at mm-hmm. least my experience. And from what I've read on the low toxicity, they would have to eat like the whole plant. And if your cat is doing that, I'd be concerned about some other things
right.
than just as well. Your plants. Not yeah. just the plant. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I guess maybe this is just like terrible because I don't have cats and dogs. So I don't, I'm not as empathetic, but I would imagine if a cat has a low toxicity plant, takes a bite, maybe starts to drool or like throws up, they're going to also not go back to that plant again. Right.
Right. I think that's tricky. I think you could maybe say that. And I know like I try to tell myself that.
Probably even mentioned upset to a lot you. Of people by saying that. Yeah.
I think the hard thing that is that animals don't always have the best memory. So that's the only okay. thing to think about. Like they don't learn like reward and punishment, I'll say, the way that we do.
Right.
And they don't remember, you know, they like when you're disciplining your dog, you know, you're always told it has to be right there in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that they understand, you know, what you're disciplining them for. If it's a minute later or 2 minutes later, they're not going to understand.
Right.
With a cat, I think there is basically no understanding whatsoever.
Okay.
Like you could, you know, spray your cat with the water bottle every time it gets to that plant. But I don't think that the cat is registering that, I'm not supposed to be by this plant.
Okay.
And they don't have that, like, that ability to learn in that way.
Okay.
So that would be the only thing I would say about, oh, they should learn and, like, get over it. I do think there must be some instinctive part of them that
right.
would tell them, like, oh, stay away, stay away.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think you can rely on that.
Okay, good. That's a good thing to talk
yeah.
about then.
Yeah.
So let's go through what are the most toxic, like, do not have in mm-hmm. your house plants.
I don't have a comprehensive list off the top of my head, uh-huh. but what I do know, for instance, aloe vera.
Okay.
Very toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Poinsettias are very toxic. Mm-hmm. It's the season now, so I know a lot of people get poinsettias around their house. They're mm-hmm. toxic to people as well. So if you have little babies, you know, you want to be very careful there.
Yes.
Generally, anything that comes from a bulb.
Okay.
Is toxic.
Right. Like an amaryllis is also
yes.
very toxic.
Yes.
Okay.
The lily.
And daffodils.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. The lily family is mm-hmm. very toxic.
I have a little bit of a list we can
yeah.
talk about. And so some lilies are not, first off, some lilies are not toxic for dogs and toxic for cats. And then the super, super toxic ones, if you have tiger lilies, mm-hmm. Asian lilies, Japanese lilies, Easter, and stargazer lilies, those can cause like kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely if you have any sort of lily, look it up online. Then, right, so amaryllis
yep.
from a bulb.
From a bulb.
Crocus, not so much indoor, but mm-hmm. that's definitely on ASPCA's like top list. Azaleas and rhododendron,
mm-hmm.
also in more outdoor, but you might have them inside. Chrysanthemums. Cyclamen is something people have inside, and that's fatal.
Yeah.
I was seeing cyclamen. Also, I'm still a novice, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing any of these plant names.
I actually think that that's right, but I also am a novice, so
yeah.
you have two
so
novices
like,
here.
We have no one to correct us. But
don't judge us if
yeah.
we've said anything. We're still learning.
We're doing our best to help you.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are actually fatal.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, calanchoe. Calanchoe.
I don't know if I know that one.
That one is also, that is an indoor plant, also toxic. Pothos. I love my pothos. I brought it to your freaking house.
But the nice thing about a pothos is that most of them are hanging.
Right.
And I just have mine up in hangers
right.
hanging from the ceiling. So the cats,
your cats
can.
Aren't going to make it up
they
there.
Get down. Yeah.
Yeah. And your poinsettias are like, there's no possible way your cats could
yeah.
get up there.
Yeah. They're on
their
shelves.
They're like basically like in
the
ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the sago palm, S-A-G-O.
Yes, the sago palm. So I have...
Which kind of is a bulb, isn't it? Right?
Yeah,
it's a
kind
bulb
of. You know what's interesting? And this is also just because I'm new as
mm-hmm.
well. But like to me, the sago palm, the way that it grows actually looks like the ponytail palm.
Totally.
But the ponytail palm is not toxic at all. while the sago palm is very, very toxic.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that is, but yeah, you can see, like, there's a lot here.
It's a huge list, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I just, like, always go to the ASPCA website. The other thing I would say is there's a lot of information out there from different blogs and people, you know, sharing their own experience. So it can get a bit confusing. I try to stick to the ASPCA toxicity list.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what my governance is for what I will bring home or not.
Yes. And Pet Poison Helpline, I also felt like had a really good breakdown of like the top 10 most poisonous plants for pets. I really liked the information I found on them. So between ASPCA and PetPoisonHelpline.com, I feel like that's a really good, those are two really good lists that you can compile.
And it looks like Pet Poison Helpline has a 24/7
phone
number you can call. So, you know, look them up, Pet Poison Helpline, if you're ever wondering.
Other ones, tulips, also bulbs. Yep. Aloe was really surprising to me because aloe is like the plant that helps humans, you know?
Yeah.
But that's tough. Yep. And then Diffenbachia we mentioned. And then, the other thing is morning glories. I feel like you don't grow morning glory inside, but I have a balcony that I grow them on. So if you were to like have a balcony and have your like cats or dogs running around on it.
The other thing that a lot of people have suggested and that I've done myself, I often will have cat grass here for the kitties, and that entertains them. Like, if they have something, if they're surrounded by plants and they have a plant that they can eat that's good for them, I feel like it's not always the case. I think the number one thing is to know your pet. Yeah. Talk to your veterinarian, talk to your own plant scientist, whatever. But for me, when I've had the cat grass, it's entertained them. It keeps them distracted from the other plants. It's healthy for them. I don't
even, like, know what that is.
It's generally, it can be a mixture of a bunch of different grasses. It could be, like, wheat grass, for instance. It's good for their digestion.
Do you get it in, like, a little pallet? Like,
you can, yeah. You can get it from the farmer's market, for instance. It's actually very easy to grow from seed. It takes, like, 2 days to grow from seed. Yeah, I'll do that often. So, like, I'll keep it up on a shelf so that they, you know, we watch it grow. And then when it gets really tall, I'll put it down here for them to eat. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have found that when their cats eat the cat grass, they might vomit or throw up.
Okay. That's interesting.
I think it's generally because it's a digestive. So they probably are eating the cat grass because they have something else in their stomach that they don't want in there.
Right.
And so they're kind of almost instigating that vomit. But cat grass on its own is actually very good for them.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with dogs. Like when dogs are, my understanding is that when dogs are out eating grass, it's generally because they have, you know, they have something in their tummy that they want some digestive help with.
Right. And I'm sure just like dogs and cats came from outdoors, like
totally.
Ultimately, you know, the way plants have come ultimately from the jungle and, you know, outdoors, it's probably good to return for them to be eating stuff that they used to eat. Their bodies probably aren't used to it, but it's probably good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, logically, I guess that's what I'm telling myself.
The cats are generally carnivores. They don't really have a plant-based diet.
Right.
Or grains or anything like that, which is different from a dog. A dog, you see grains and plant in their diet and in their food often. You see it in cat food too, but it's really a cheap filler. You're really not supposed to be feeding your cat that. You should be feeding your cat a carnivorous diet. So for them, it is, the digestive aspect is there, but they generally just eat, like, I mean, you think about when they're out in the wild, they're eating little rodents.
Right.
That's what they eat.
Right. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Predators.
Yeah. Predators.
Oh, kitty cats. The only other thing I feel like we should talk about is if for some reason you think maybe your cat has eaten a plant that probably isn't agreeing with them, what are the signs for maybe if your cat has been poisoned or like is going through it?
I think there's several. You mentioned a few, you know, if they start foaming at the mouth or drooling, that would be
excessive drooling.
Yeah, that would be a sure sign. If they're vomiting excessively, if, you know, if their behavior changes, cats are really easy. If they're not eating or if they're not playing, there's probably something wrong with them.
Right. Okay.
Like
if they're suddenly very lethargic or something like that. Okay.
Exactly. So those would kind of be the signs that you would look for. Being lethargic is tricky. That's why I would always say, like, are they lethargic and are they eating? If they're still eating and they haven't had any, you know, vomiting or digestive issues, you know, you could call your vet and see, but for sure, if they're not eating, if there's excessive vomit, if they're drooling, if they're foaming at the mouth, those are all things for me that would be big red flags that I would do something about immediately.
And also, once again, I'm not an expert. We're not experts, and call your vet.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure every cat parent,
you know, there's like this pet poison helpline. You know, there are other services out there too where you can just give them a call and they'll tell you.
Yeah, and they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, I hope that this has been helpful for our listeners.
Yes.
This has been eye-opening for me as someone who doesn't have a cat or pets. And just to kind of bring it full circle, what has your experience been enjoying having plants and having cats? And why do you think that everybody should be, you know, a plant parent?
Great question. It's brought me so much joy. Mm-hmm. I just feel, you know, when I come home, I have this like special place that I get to feel like so much positive energy and so many good vibes when I'm here in my apartment with my plants, with my kitties. So I would encourage people, you know, your home is your space.
Like,
this is where you get to be, you know, safe, in your, you know, being who you most could be, kind of like in your prime is when you're at home. And so for me, I want it to be someplace where I'm like enjoying, I can sit down, I can like just look around. I feel like I honestly feel like the oxygen I'm breathing is better. And it just makes me happy. Like, it's so cliche, but when people say plants make people happy, it's so true.
It's so real.
Like, I remember when I just got into plants, I would sit here, you know, my boyfriend and I would be drinking a glass of wine and he'd be watching sports on TV or something like that. And I would just look around and I could just, I would say over and over and over to him, oh, they're all so beautiful. Like, this is so nice.
Yes.
And that's like the best I can describe it.
Totally.
And everybody should have that feeling, you know?
Totally. And before we were recording and I was like, oh gosh, we're not even recording. We're having such a good chat. We were talking about how it's for you, I think, a really good way for you to kind of like unwind and disconnect having a long work
completely,
day.
Completely. Yeah, I was telling you when I was younger, my mom, she had hundreds and hundreds of plants. She always has. She would spend an hour and a half a day watering the plants.
Right.
And I never got it. I never understood it. I'm like, Mom, like, that is a lot of time just watering the plants. Doesn't that get so annoying? Like, aren't you just so sick of watering plants all the time? And she would just, you know, say, oh no, it's just so fun. Like, I enjoy it. It's nice. And I never got it. And now I totally get it. I get home from work, I'm like totally exhausted. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's my way that I get to check out and unwind. And I'm not thinking about anything else. It's very much like a meditative state for me where I go around and I water each one. I look at how it's doing. Mm-hmm. I just check each one. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
So it's refreshing. It's rejuvenating. It's therapeutic. All of the above.
I love it. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a way to, especially with someone like you, you're probably in front of a computer the whole day.
Yes.
You can't have your phone on you with your plant. I mean, unless you're taking a photo, but when you're actually watering and kind of connecting with it, that's the way to like get away from all the screens, which
completely.
I think is so special.
Oh yeah.
And
absolutely.
A few other hobbies kind of allow for that. Like gardening does.
Agreed.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Megan as much as I did. Make sure to go check out Plant Lady is the new cat lady. Every word is separated by an underscore on Instagram for her adventures and her cat's acrobatic endeavors. They're pretty remarkable and quite beautiful. I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. I am taking next week off. I am headed home for the holidays to be with my family, to disconnect, to turn my phone off, to not look at my microphone for a minute, and just really enjoy some quality family time. I will be back January 2nd with a very special, near and dear to my heart episode for you guys about the beginning of 2018. So that being said, I wish you the happiest of holidays, the happiest new year. I hope you all are with your loved ones, enjoying yourselves, and I can't wait to see what 2018 brings Bloom and Grow Radio for us to keep blooming and keep growing. Thanks again for having a listen today. If you like what what you heard, please subscribe to Bloom and Grow Radio on iTunes and leave us a review. If you want to follow the Bloom and Grow journey and are interested in more plant tips, give us a follow on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio and visit www.bloomandgrowradio.com to join the email list. And please let me know what you want to hear in the future episodes. I'm here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.